Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable.
Welcome, everybody, back to At the Roundtable. We are so excited to begin our discussions for the 2021 NICE selection. So first off, welcome to 2021.
Right, exactly. We made it.
This is our first new podcast that we're recording in the 2021 year. So I am here with my wonderful partner in crime, Alice. And every year we do what we call NICE, which is Noblesville Interdisciplinary Creativity Expo. And we pick four pieces of classic literature, be they novels or plays or poems, and we spend the year doing a deep dive into them and then creating new art. And we also invite any stripe of artist to join us, not only in the discussion, but in the creation of new art. And so one of our favorite parts is picking not only the books or the pieces that we'll be going into depth on, but also specific quotes. And last time that we met off the microphone, we narrowed our selections down to 10. And that itself was a task, wasn't it? Yeah.
That's what we're calling our short list is 10. And we have to whittle this down to the four that will be the ones we use this year. And, you know, this may be the seventh year we've done this, but every year brings its own set of challenges and innovations. And, you know, last year was the first year we recorded this kind of behind the scenes discussions of how we selected the books and then the passages. And then we had once we had our four books and passages, we just recorded and recorded so much information about, like you said, diving deeply into them, and not just the books, but the authors' lives and different, you know, thematic things that related to today's world, and no matter when the books were written and all that kind of stuff. And we love doing that so much. And with the pandemic now going into year two, we're still doing virtual stuff. So we decided this year, let's do that again. Let's pick our four books. And this is a process. Pick our four books out of this 10, then pick our four passages from the four books, you know, and then dive into them just as deeply as we possibly can. Because sometimes our podcasts will lead up to a workshop. Sometimes the workshops become part of the podcast. It's all intermixed and it works really well for us. So I'm so happy to see you, Sarah E., and talk to you in this podcast. By the way, audience, we're doing this in Zoom. And even though we have video, we're probably just going to do the podcast part of this, the audio part, not the video part for public.
Well, I am excited to be here with you as well, Alice. Should we just launch into it with our first selection?
You think we should like list the 10 books first and then?
Sure.
So we have Brave New World, which was published in 1932 by Aldous Huxley. We have Iola Leroy or Shadows Uplifted, 1892 by Francis E. W. Harper. We have Sula, 1973 by Toni Morrison. The Yellow Wallpaper, 1892, that's a short story, by Charlotte Perkins Gilman. A Wrinkle in Time, 1962, by Madeline L'Engle. The Secret Garden, 1911, by Frances Hodgkins Burnett. I can't ever say her name. Frances Hodgson Burnett. We have North and South, 1854, by Elizabeth Gaskell. Tarzan of the Apes, 1912, by Edgar Rice Burroughs. The Tale of Genji, written in the early 11th century, let's say that, by Lady Murasaka Shikibu, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. I just call her Lady Murasaki. 100 Years of Solitude, 1967, by Gabriel Garcia Marquez, I think I pronounced that correctly, And then something from the Complete Poems of Emily Dickinson. The copy I have was published in 1890 by Roberts Brothers. And we intend, if we choose Emily Dickinson, we would probably pick just a singular poem and then work from that. Mm-hmm. So I'd 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We have a
short 11.
11. Yeah. Okay. Good to clarify. Okay. So those are the ones that we've narrowed our selection process down to. Out of those, we have to pick only four.
That's going to be a task.
Herculean, one might say. So mm-hmm. Do you want to start us off with Brave New World? A little synopsis, a little reminder to everybody what's going on with this book.
Yes, I would love to. And I pushed for Brave New World to get at least in our debate list again. Mm-hmm. It made it into our debate list, I think, 2 years ago, and we selected another dystopia at the time. It's one of my favorite dystopias. It is, again, by Aldous Huxley. And I have been amazed that even though it was written in the early 1930s, it still has such modern resonance. It's set in a futuristic world state. Humans are not so much born as decanted, meaning that they're kind of grown in bottles and they're injected with fluids that give them, you know, certain abilities. But whatever injects them, you know, the fluids basically mean that it's a caste system based on ability. There's clones, there's all kinds of themes with reproduction, with sleep learning, with suppressing people and controlling them with drugs, with the idea of everybody belongs to everybody else. And so the idea of having like a singular monogamous relationship or really close family relationship, that's anathema. And then this whole society is challenged by one individual or protagonist, this savage character who comes in at first because he believes it's going to be wonderful, but it is not.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good encapsulation of what we're talking about. It's, you know, it's kind of that classic conundrum, or if you want to say conflict, between individualism and the mass, you know, the mass, what do you call that? The collective personality, if you will, because, you know, and sure, certainly does seem to be relevant still today, like you said. So, yeah, there's a lot of meat on that bone. I think that when Huxley wrote this in 1931, you know, the events of the Depression in the United Kingdom had to do with a lot of what he was reflecting on, if you will. And I think that you know, you could even go into, you know, this kind of idea of how does the economy affect these kinds of theories and thoughts and how people see their society, you know, and, you know, is it better to be part of a collective whole that's very homogenous, or is it, you know, better to be that rugged individualism kind of thing and do your own thing? So there's a lot in this book, definitely.
And the Brave New World title, as you point out here in our notes, does come from Shakespeare. It comes from The Tempest. Right. And so I like the idea that it's like buy one, get one free when it comes to classic literature here, that we can also connect it maybe just a little bit to Shakespeare in our discussions.
Yeah, I think let's read that that quote. And is it okay if I read it? Is
that right? Absolutely.
So it's from Miranda's speech in William Shakespeare's The Tempest, Act 5, Scene 1. Oh wonder, oh many godly creatures are there here. How beauteous mankind is. Oh brave new world that has such people in it. And this, you know, the use of the phrase, oh brave new world, is believed that Shakespeare intended that to be ironic, because the speaker's innocence means that she fails to recognize the evil nature of the island's visitors. So, you know, that does kind of add layers to Huxley's title use and story, I feel like. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So Are we to the point where we want to debate some of the pros and cons of seeking this book?
So. I don't know how much we want to get into the actual plot, but I think if we do the pros and cons, and then let me check something. Yeah, I didn't really put a lot of, you know, I'm checking our notes as we're talking. I didn't put a lot of individual themes in there, but I think we've discussed enough that, you know, in our long discussion. But yeah, let's go into our pros and cons.
I think a pro is that, well, I personally love some good sci-fi, and I think some of these scientific themes, some of these are moral questions that we are still asking ourselves in the scientific world. And so I like that. That said, we have already covered in the past two other dystopias. Mm-hmm. And so if we are feeling a little bit of genre fatigue, that might be a reason to choose something else.
So given that this is a dystopian story, like at least two we've done before, how do you feel it stands out against those two prior ones? What makes it different? What makes it special?
Part of it is the prose. I remember in the first chapter or two, there is an acceleration of the length of scenes, where it'll start in one person's point of view for a couple pages and then switch to another person's point of view. And then it's like going back and forth between, I think, three different points of view, and it accelerates and accelerates, and the excerpts keep getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And that sort of acceleration through prose, I don't see in a lot of other novels. So part of it is stylistic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It almost starts running like either a video montage, which is going faster and faster, or almost like a poem in some way with these repeated words. And also, I particularly like the theme that this dystopia is centered around of pleasure used as a form of suppression. Mm-hmm. So, because I think that we are offered that in our own world. It may or may not be as intentional on the part of the government, but I think that it is definitely present in some way, that there's this temptation just to kind of be lulled by all these pleasures out there and not challenge ourselves further or face the hard stuff.
Right. And so, you know, this, it, you haven't, you know, we have in our notes that the issues of handling pain with drugs and sex and relationships, things like that. Talk to me a little bit about that, because it's been a long time since I've read this book. I apologize for that. But, you know, tell me what you think we could get out of that part of the discussion. Those parts of the discussion, I guess.
Pretty much exactly what you said. but I do want to bring up that every year we also like to make connections between books. And if we choose Sula, which is also high on my list by Toni Morrison, the way that both of these authors handle sex, particularly, you know, should it be exclusive? Is it nothing that means anything too deep, but it's just kind of nice and fun and pleasurable and then gone? Yeah. I think those would be such interesting comparisons. I mean, a white British guy, mm-hmm. you know, writing about it in the 30s versus here's a Black African-American woman writing about it in the 70s. Mm-hmm. I think that that's interesting that such different background authors kind of have some similar agreements about what sex is.
I think that this issue of kind of sex equating with or not equating with morality or immorality, you know, is part of that equation too, in relationships. And by morality, I mean almost like that religious, you know, one man, one woman, you know, kind of the moral issues involved with, you know, casual sex or relationship sex and that kind of thing. I think those topics definitely would come up in quite a few of our selected, our 10 shortlists, maybe not the more young adult and child books, but some of the others, I think we would be able to kind of hint at and delve deeply into some of those issues. I really need to get a copy of this book to you know, refresh my memory for the specifics, because I really am remembering just like I don't remember any specific passages from it. I just remember the basic story of it and everything. Now, in our list of pros and cons, did you say there's a recent TV series?
Very much so. Yes, I can't remember which channel it's streaming on, but there is a remake of Brave New World that was a series. So I think that some of our audience will be more familiar with it now than they would have been 5 years ago.
Join us next time as we continue our discussion of our 2021 NICE project.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.